Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. And every Monday at 2 o'clock, we're joined by John McClain. He's presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. John, I couldn't believe it when it happened. I still don't know if I believe it, but the Titans have won a game. And what a weird win it was, but a win is a win. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. They'll win more games, of course, but you'll never see another one like that. I was, when it was 21-6 early in the fourth quarter, I quit paying attention. And then when I looked up and I saw them scoring, then I started watching the highlights and going online and seeing all the crazy plays. And it had enough to last a lifetime. I do not understand it. And I'll say this about DeMarcado. He stood there at his locker and answered every question about being a dumbass. And especially when the week before you had the receiver from Texas doing the same thing that cost the Colts a game. Last year, even a smart guy like Jonathan Taylor did it. And I do not understand, what is it about these players? Is it cool to drop the ball as you're supposedly just in the end zone? I don't know what it is. But it drives coaches crazy. And I watched that highlighter lowlight with Jonathan Gannon, their coach, going ballistic. And it looked like he hit DeMarcado as he was walking away from him to go to the sideline. And that was a great victory for the Titans. Cam Ward showed why they drafted him first overall. Of course, you need more of that. I noticed, I was looking at their starting lineup, and they started six offensive linemen and two tight ends, and I've never seen that before. But they won. That's all that matters. Cam Ward looked good when he needed to look good. They still need to run the ball more with Tony Pollard, even with Spears back. But I'm sure everybody's very happy, except, you know, Brian Callahan's not getting fired this week.
Yeah, no, and I mean, Joe and I talked about that earlier. How much of a reprieve is this? I'm of the belief that I think Amy Adams Strunk would prefer to wait till the end of the year, not to have to pay an interim coach and go through the whole process, because she's already paying two GMs, and then we'll have to pay a head coach not to be here. You know, so I feel like they want to wait as long as they can. But what does this do for a team that isn't very good? And I think they all know they're not very good, but we've seen what a win can do and help be a jumping off point for a season. Do you think that this could be the case for the Titans?
Well, first of all, she doesn't give a rat's ass about money spent on people under contract. She's proved that by paying so many people, just like here. They're still paying people, and they have so much money. Most teams, that doesn't figure into, but I think obviously, if you're going to fire a coach, it's better late in the year so you can get a head start. Put your interim in there. Hope you keep losing so you'll get a higher draft pick. Sometime, worst thing that can happen is for the interim coach to win a couple of games, then all the players want to keep the interim coach, mainly because they think it protects them selfishly. But I think a game like this, when Brian Callahan's telling the Titans now, look, you know, we're down 15 points. It's the fourth quarter. We've proved we can overcome this obstacle. That helps for situations where you're in trouble. And whether you do it or not remains to be seen. But at least you got an example. Players ought to be more fired up to come to work for a week because they won a game. And they did it in a fashion in which nobody gave them a chance. Cardinals did every nincompoop thing you could possibly do. How often do you see the quarterback get a concussion on a snap? And I don't know that he's got a concussion, but it scared the hell out of him. You saw him jump. And then the touchdown by Lockett is just like – and then the DeMarcado touchdown. That one's going to haunt the Cardinals. I didn't have the Cardinals any good. I saw one guy – national guy was bragging early in the season because he picked the Cardinals to win a division. He ain't bragging now.
No,
not at all. John McClain's on the Chase and Big Joe show. John, you look at it yesterday. Half the callers on the show today and our reaction has been, well, the Cardinals handed them the game. John, I'm more the positive thing. Look, the Titans still had to go down and score three times, and they did. They scored 16 points in the fourth quarter, get it done. Is that something you could take away, the fact that this team had to go get it done, had the opportunities, and took advantage of it, as a huge positive for this football team?
Absolutely it is, Joe, because people that try to play it down, when somebody gives you something, you still have to take advantage of it. You know, Lockett jumped on that ball in the end zone. He had all these Cardinals around him. That wasn't given to him. He had to go in there and earn it after they had fumbled. And I think Snead chasing down DeMarcado like that. And he recognized, I think, what had happened when the ball went out of the end zone. And the Murray fumble, but I thought they did a terrific job of taking advantage of what the Cardinals gave them. And the Cardinals are going to lose sleep over that. And that could sound the death knell for Jonathan Gannon, because last year they won 8 games, and people thought they were going to be improved. To me, 8 games is enough for the Cardinals. They're usually mediocre to bad, and it could end up costing them a job when you are a defensive specialist and your offense and your defense blow it, especially against a rookie quarterback who hits a 47-yard pass and then the tight end over the middle. I was happy for Cam Ward.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that, John. Now that is done, now he's got his win, can he relax a little bit now? There's no questions this week about, when are you going to get your first win? He can take a deep breath. How much can this win help the development of Cam Ward mentally, not physically, but mentally?
It can help him a lot. You always want to get the first one, because you hear last week, boy, the Titans screwed up. They should have taken Jackson Dart. Now Jackson doesn't look so good after those interceptions, and they get pounded in New Orleans. And it's a relief for him. And I don't think he's going to let up, because that's his intensity level is always going to be at the boiling point, because he's a competitor and wants to do as much as he can. I would think, and I'm guessing he won't admit it, it's a sense of relief to get the first one under your belt.
Yeah, and that another question we had today about, you know, the hot seat. You always remember the hot seat. And I think, you know, I want to get your opinion on this too, John. I mean, did it cool a little bit for Brian Callahan? Because now you got that win, but now you got to go out and do it again on Sunday. I get that. But there's not going to be so many questions a week like, oh, is this the week you get let go? Because you got the win, so it's got to feel good a little bit, I think.
It's like he was in front of the firing squad and the cigarette went out, so he's going to get some more time. And if they win another game, I think if a game like this, that with nobody talking about his job, and then even if they lose the next one, it's how do they lose the next one? I thought that Amy Adams Strunk would fire Callahan after the 26-point loss here. Now, say they go to the Raiders, and the Raiders are awful. They're 1-4-2. They've been just getting hammered. If the Titans beat them, that's great. What if the Raiders beat them 26-0, something like that? Then it's going to be a feeding frenzy again. But, you know, that game is winnable. Geno Smith has been awful. He started off well. Now he's an interception machine. This is a chance for the Titans, who won the turnover battle, to win it again in a place that the Raiders don't usually. Titans ought to have a bunch of fans at that game, because all visitors do, because everybody wants to go to Vegas. It's Las Vegas and it's Los Angeles, and then it's Nashville, about where all the fans want to go. So you hope they have a contingent there and the Titans win a second game.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe show, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Monday, continuing our conversation with John McClain down in Houston, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. John, you know, one win doesn't fix everything, as we all know, but obviously people feel good today. To me, though, I still think the Titans need to field phone calls as the trade deadline approaches. If they get something that they think is going to help them in the future, I think they need to take it. Now, you put three wins together, okay, maybe that's going to change the conversation a little bit. But would you agree with that?
Well, first of all, you're not going to get anything that's going to help you this year.
That right.
This team needs too much talent. If they wanted to have a fire sale, you know, what would they get for people? Jeffrey Simmons would be their biggest bargaining chip. And if they want to do that, but, you know, they're not going to challenge for the Super Bowl next year either. And I don't know if you do it now, you do it then. If you do it at the trade deadline, it's kind of like you're throwing in the towel. But the fact is, if you're not good and you're not going anywhere and you have some assets can bolster you for the future, pull the trigger.
We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, to look around the league a little bit, Vrabel, that's a big win last night up there for Buffalo, in Buffalo for New England. Just the job he's doing, the way he's rallied that. But I will tell you, John, we had Tim Hasselbeck on a few weeks ago. He said, Vrabel's got something in New England. He's got a quarterback. And that speaks volumes how well they're doing now.
Well, everybody's known Drake May's a good quarterback. He had a good rookie season, just like Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix and all those guys last season, and they had more money under the salary cap in the offseason than any team in the league. And those were reasons he wanted to take that job. And they're still going to have a lot of salary cap room. And I'm still stunned that they won that game last night. I thought sure they were going to lose it at the end. Now they'll have a chance to sweep the Bills. I can't imagine they would, but Mike Vrabel's a good coach. He's got his quarterback, and you know, there's some weird stories off the field, like that thing that was broken today in North Carolina. They won't let the Patriots tweet anything on the Patriots. Belichick has decreed, which means they can't tweet anything
right
about Drake May, the North Carolina quarterback, and you should be publicizing that like crazy. So quarterbacks, come to North Carolina, you can be Drake May. Now, the Patriots are going to be 4-2 because they go to New Orleans, unless they have a big letdown against the Saints, like the Giants seem to after their first victory. And then the other big story, of course, was Mark Sanchez, and I'm right. guessing he's going to get fired. Have y'all seen the pictures of the guy he beat up?
I have not. Are they bad?
I tweeted those twice. His family took him in the hospital and released him to a local TV station. He beat the hell out of that 69-year-old guy who was doing his job, parked right where he was supposed to be parking, doing what he wanted to do. And now those charges have been upgraded to a felony. And whoever conducted the press conference, I think it was the police chief, he said, you come to our city and you do bodily harm to one of our residents, you're going to pay.
Well, good.
And so Sanchez, those pictures, there's a warning about how graphic they are. He looks like he got beat up by multiple people.
Ah, just terrible. John, tonight the Jacksonville Jaguars play the Chiefs. Jags looking good at 3-1. If they can get this job done, then now they're 4-1, John. Are you buying the Jags if they win tonight?
Joe, if they win this game, I'm buying the Jags. I'm picking the Chiefs. I never pick against the Chiefs unless they're on the road, like at Buffalo or Baltimore when they're doing well. But this is a great chance for the Jaguars to show they're for real. Trevor Lawrence, Liam Cohen. It's the first time I've been interested in the Jacksonville game in 3 years.
John, I know the Cowboys played the Jets, but considering CeeDee Lamb's out, they got some injuries on the offensive line. What do you think about Dallas to this point and Dak Prescott?
They're running the ball great. Javonte Williams is running, giving, taking so much pressure off Prescott. He's playing great. As we've talked about before, the last five times he's played all or most of the season, they've been in the playoffs. So the key is to keep him healthy. But the Jets are awful. They're 0-5 right now. They're the worst team in the NFL, and it doesn't seem like it's going to get any better. And but good for Dak. Hopefully he'll stay healthy, and the Cowboys will continue to do well enough to compete for wild card berth.
Is the AFC North, I guess, you know, I know Pittsburgh's 3-1, but are they bad enough right now that Baltimore shouldn't be worried about their current position, or are the injuries going to be too much for them to overcome?
Everybody's worried about their current position because they're all starting backup quarterbacks other than Pittsburgh. You know, the Bengals just keep getting worse. And everybody made a big deal yesterday. The Ravens had four starters on defense out, defensive lineman, linebacker, and two DBs. They gave up 44 to the Texans. And I don't care who you are, where you play, you score 44 in the NFL, and that's good. And it looked like they didn't want to play, and they quit. And their offense, of course, was missing three starters, including Lamar Jackson. And the Texans totally shut down Derrick Henry. He had like 22 yards on 15 carries. And after the way he badgered the Texans all those years with the Titans, his last four games against the D'Amico Ryan's defense, he had done squat. So, without Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry's facing 8 man fronts, but Jackson's going to be back. After they lose to the Rams, I think it's the Rams, and then they'll be have a week off, and maybe some of those guys can come back. And I think if Lamar Jackson comes back, and he was healthy, even when he's healthy, the defense couldn't stop anybody. So until they do something on their defense, you know, they're just spinning their wheels. But the division right now is so bad, I think if Lamar comes back and he's healthy, they're going to score a lot of points. If the defense even makes a few improvements, they could still have a chance to win that division after their terrible start.
Well, and you brought up the Bengals. I mean, this Browning thing isn't working, but I don't know what they do. I mean, do you call Atlanta and just see what you can work out for Kirk Cousins, or are you just kind of grit and bear it until you get Burrow back?
I think you grin and bear it. You're not going to be drafting a quarterback in the offseason. If you want Kirk Cousins, it's going to cost you more than you want to give up. You know, Browning had a winning record going in. I don't know if it's the other players. He has no running game whatsoever, and the score is misleading because they were beaten up a whole lot more than the score indicates. And that's like most of them. If you can't keep your quarterback healthy, you are in big trouble, and that's the best example. It has to scare them how much Joe Burrow has been hurt since going to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. John, I didn't see it live, but I watched the YouTube clip of it. It's like 15-minute reel of the Seattle Seahawks-Tampa Bay Buccaneers game. And let me tell you what, I'm a big NFL historian like you are. That reminded me of a game we would see in the 70s or the 80s. A lot of hitting, a lot of scoring. You don't know who's going to win. It was just a fun game to watch. Tampa wins the game, though. But my goodness, John, the uniforms, the way the play was, the game overall, that was a beautiful football game in Seattle on Sunday afternoon.
I heard somebody today saying Dak Prescott should be MVP. No, Baker Mayfield should be MVP. Four victories, all in the last minute. Their loss in the last minute. They've been fantastic. Everybody loves those creamsicle uniforms, and they hated them when the Buccaneers wore them originally because right. They were terrible, and they equated the uniforms with losing. Now, of course, the uniforms are equated with winning. And Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, two former backup teammates together at Carolina under Matt Rhule, they both were outstanding, and you won't see many high-scoring games better than that. Texans have lost by one to the Buccaneers on a Mayfield touchdown with 6 seconds left. Touchdown led drive with 6 seconds left. And after the bye week, they go to Seattle for a Monday night game. And Darnold torched them for four touchdown passes last year when he was in Minnesota. And I wonder right now if the Vikings wish they had re-signed Sam Darnold.
Well, not only that, I was going to ask about the Vikings. I mean, do you think the guys like being overseas for 2 weeks like the Vikings do? Because, look, I get it's fun for a week, but it's like, you know, you're not home. You're not, you know, everything you need in Minnesota, you don't have in Europe, all this stuff. It's just, to me, it's a hassle. Do you think guys enjoy the 2 weeks they spend over there?
They like it a lot better when they came home with a victory over the Browns. If they had lost that game and they had to make that trip back, it would have been different. I know wives love to go there. They love those trips.
Right.
I guess the kids get to go too. And they take great care of you. I've been over there for a game, and boy, they take you have everything you want over there, not to mention one of the greatest cities in the world and 85,000 coming to your game. And I think if they had not wanted to be over there for 2 weeks, they would not have been.
John, going to be an interesting week for sure. At least we're talking about a win. Appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Guys, thank you very much as always.
Absolutely. John McClain joins us each Monday at 2. Brought to you by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. Coming up next, Brian Callahan is scheduled to speak to the media. We will do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Brian Callahan is supposed to speak here in a few minutes, and when he does, we will air that, as we always do. And coming off a win. I mean, this will only be the fourth time that he's gotten to do the Monday press conference after a win, but
isn't that crazy?
It's
right?
There.
I'll have you know, though, Chase, I know you're interested in this, that Taylor Swift's new album breaks her own sales records.
Oh, that's cool. Good for her.
Not bad tonight. Will we see her 1,000 times on the Monday Night Football game as
probably.
The Chiefs take on the Jaguars?
Probably will. Not probably not.
We won't see her in Alabama football, not a Tuscaloosa.
So here's something interesting on the Twitter. Ian Rappaport said, former Titans first-round pick Treylon Burks, who has been recovering from a broken collarbone since training camp, has been cleared for all football activities by Dr. Damon Petty, the Titans team physician, sources say. Kuharsky says, this is incorrect. Treylon Burks remains on Titans IR. Ian is cut and pasting info that's not correct from an agent. Could go this way in time.
All right.
Are they going to bring him back? Because nobody claimed him. So
right. I don't know. I mean, what? So he's not okay to be released, or he is?
I don't. According to Paul, no. I mean, I think they cut him, right?
I mean, he's terrible.
Like, he's not. I mean,
he's not, you say it. He's not good.
He's not good.
Yeah, right. Nice guy.
I know. Not look. I know they won, and we're trying to be positive, but like. They can't get much worse if they threw him in there, but I think they're done with him.
Yeah, he would have gotten injured again at some point. So yeah, just you move on, and that's okay. You got money. You were a number one pick, and sorry it didn't work out for you. I hope it works out someplace else for you, but this is not going to work out here.
By the way, Paul will be co-hosting tomorrow and Thursday with Robbie Stanley as Rex Road has a couple days off. So
okay,
looking forward to having PK in the mix on Robbie and Rex Road. All right, so what do you want to hear from Callahan today?
The fight in that football team, what it was like that fourth quarter, why he went off script a little bit, why he just kind of said, look, here's what we're going to do. Go out there and play and get it done. Again, they had to score 16 points in the fourth quarter to win the game, and just talk about things on those lines. But overall, I mean, it shouldn't be a long one. It's like now we play the Raiders. I mean, all the good questions would be, I don't want to hear about Cam Ward's footwork again. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Don't care about that. Just, you know. And this is, you know, this is not a spot Brian Callahan's in a lot talking about a win. He's only had four of them now in a year and a half. He's 4-18.
So I tell you what we're going to do, just because I have a feeling it's still going to be a few minutes before he gets up there. Let's go ahead and take our last break. And then we will take you the rest of the way with Brian Callahan. If that bleeds over into DVD, they'll take it from there. But we'll take our last break and then get Brian Callahan coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Let's go hear from Brian Callahan.
You know, that's every week, and you try to maintain the same demeanor that you have when you lose as when you win, and you got to correct – things got to get corrected. Every game is always going to have that. So we're getting through that process, but – really some pretty cool individual performances in the game that these guys stepped up when, you know, we needed their best. And we've been looking for a couple of weeks now to have our best players play their best. And I think we got that from quite a few guys over the course of the game. And Jeff Simmons, I think, leads the charge. The way that Jeff's playing right now is, as I've said multiple times, is about as good as anybody in football, and he continues to set the standard for what we're looking for from our football team from an energy and effort perspective, and then is making a ton of plays. I thought Calvin Ridley stepping up and being really productive over the course of particularly the fourth quarter was great to see, especially coming off a limited week of practice. He only practiced once over the course of the week, and to show up on game day like that was impressive. You know, the one that's a sneaky performance but was really, really productive for us was Johnny Hecker. The way he punted in that game, flipped the field for us a couple of times and put our defense in a really great spot. And then we held up, and then we flipped the field on the other side offensively with field position coming out of it. So, his hang time, his distance, his direction, all that stuff was fantastic and really a critical piece, I think, in that late part of the game of flipping the field and yardage-wise for us was huge. And then I think we got a bunch of guys. You know, L'Jarius Sneed, I think, had a really good game. Was really pleased with how he played. Our special teams continues to make impact plays in the return game with Chim. And those guys on the front line in KOR, it was really impressive. They two great blocks by James Williams and KB to spring that kick on Chim's return. And then our tight ends played well when we needed them to. Made some big catches, some big catch and runs. And at the end of the day, I felt like our offensive line protection was maybe as good as it's been all year in that particular game. And then Cam ultimately at the end when we needed to see the number one pick play like a number one pick, he did. And that was a big reason why we were able to win the game.
You mentioned last night that he would live in 2 minute and 4 minute if you guys let him. What's the kind of balance of incorporating that versus yep. situational versus opponent?
Yeah, I mean, there's a personnel perspective. You know, we felt like going into that game, one of the things that was going to be good for us and help calm that defense down some. They're real multiple when you get an 11 personnel. And then particularly when you no huddle against them, they had shown to pressure quite a bit and make it hard on you. So we got bigger against them, especially early in the game. We were in some 12 and 13 and even some 21. We had some fullback stuff in there as well. So that was by design. We felt like that calmed that front down and calmed the scheme down a little bit. So that in and of itself in the game plan wasn't really part of how we were going to attack those guys. But we have done quite a bit of no huddle, and I think that package continues to grow. It is something that Cam feels very comfortable in and has shown to execute well. So those are things that were, you know, by game plan, of course, but those are things that he does has shown to play well in, and those are things we're going to keep expanding as we keep going forward.
Are you looking for Cam to embrace the fourth quarter with the underneath throws? In completing the easy passes, because obviously the long ones are beautiful, but the other ones got you down the field.
Yeah, I think that's a great lesson for him. That's what we needed from early in the game too. Is we had some opportunities to complete some balls that were the easy throws. You know, we're trying to make it as easy on him as possible. Some of those throws he made at the end of the game were high level difficulty throws and really good catches, but trying to make those be the throws that have to happen a couple of times a game and the rest of it be as easy as possible. And he's figuring that part out as we go. Had some opportunities early in the game, and I think he really calmed down in the second half and just focused on putting his eyes where they're supposed to be and just throwing the ball where it's supposed to go and not trying to do anything other than that. And I think you saw how effective that is when you do that and you can move the ball down the field as long as you take completions. And that's the one emphasis for him all this week is we got to complete the ball at a higher rate. Not all that's on him, obviously, but there's a part of that that does fall on his shoulders, and we got to continue to do what we did in the fourth quarter.
You mentioned that second half, I don't want to call it adjustment, but change of like how he saw things. Mm-hmm. I know there's not a lot of time, but did you guys go over anything in particular?
It's been an ongoing process. Those are things we can kind of continually talk to him about. The only thing I just said to him at halftime is really just that. I said, just all you got to do is put your eyes where they're supposed to be. Make sure your footwork matches it and just throw the ball. Like, it doesn't have to be anything more than that. And I thought he did a much better job of that over the course of the second half. You saw the ball come out of his hand when it was supposed to, go into the places it was supposed to go. And it's still, it wasn't perfect. There's still things that were corrected in coaching. But I think I think it clicked for him a little bit in the second half is probably the best way I can describe it. And hopefully that leads to starting off the game with that sort of same mentality and being able to find those things and move the team down the field a little more consistently than we have over the first month of the season. So hopeful that the improvement is rapid.
Guys need to be able to catch balls that are in catchable range versus sometimes he seems to throw 100 miles an hour when he doesn't necessarily have to.
That's part of it. You know, there's a part of throwing catchable footballs. And he's got an unbelievably twitchy release and really natural body torque when he throws. And there's learning how to layer those throws and learning how to take a little bit off. And again, that's all part of his growth process over the course of these games. And I thought in this game, it was really really good consistently throwing the ball, catchable in the spots that needed to be put in for the most part. So again, he's learning every time he goes out there, and he's improving every time he takes the field, and been pretty pleased with the rate of improvement.
Ryan, after the win in Houston last year, you guys went to Washington, didn't go very well. Do you learn anything from that experience in terms of getting the team back this week?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back and look at my notes and make sure I'm not doing any of the things that I did the last time. I don't think it was anything really dramatically different, to be honest with you. It was, I think we that game was a product of some early turnovers that broke it open pretty quickly. But we got to be ready to go play again. And I think my point to you guys after the game is the same as it was to the team today, that it's one game. And we're trying to win more games and stack wins and stack the process. And that's our focus. And it feels great to win, but we also aren't – I mean, I'm not satisfied with all of it, and they shouldn't be either, because we got to play better. Earlier in the game, you know, there's the good teams. If you give them a 21-6 lead in most games in this league, you're going to have a hard time coming back. And thankfully, we found a way to do it. But that's not the way we want to live, nor is it sustainable. And we got to find a way to play better earlier. And I think that's the key. And having the same mentality about how we feel after a loss when you're correcting the tape and making sure you're corrected when it needs to get corrected.
After when you watch the film of what you just talked about, how it kind of transpired, having a different perspective since you have the bird's eye view now, did the plays that took place that allowed you guys to come back, does it seem as bizarre as it was at the time? Just the concept.
I've seen a lot of bizarre things in my time in the league, and that's just the way the game goes sometimes. And what I like about what happened in that game yesterday is that, you know, really for the first four games, you know, we were the team that was making the errors to lose the game. You know, and that's a real thing. Is you certainly can lose yourself a game a lot quicker than you can win one. And to be on the other side of that and take advantage of those opportunities when they arose and to be able to make the plays necessary to win the game was a nice change of pace for us. And that's where you want to be. And weird things happen in this league all the time. Ball bounces strange. I mean, I could take you back to the Tebow season in Denver and show you a whole bunch of crazy stuff that happened that has no real explanation in how we won some of those games. But I think the important part is when you get opportunities to go close a game out and win it, we did that, you know, for the first time all year. And we weren't the one that was putting ourselves in position to lose. And I think that's where I'm the most proud and the most excited that maybe we've, you know, turned a corner in that regard.
What led to maybe Cam and Calvin having so much success yesterday, and how much do you hope that's kind of a confidence builder, springboard for those guys?
Yeah, I think somebody asked me a question about that maybe on Friday, just about how do you get Calvin going? And my answer is the same then as I think it is now, is that you just got to keep finding ways to use his skill set. We protected well in the game, which I think was a big part of being able to push the ball down the field a little bit more and find some explosive plays. But I got a lot of confidence in Calvin, and he's shown his ability to change the game for us. And he just needed to capitalize on the opportunities. And I think he was in the right frame of mind to go do it and really played well for us down the stretch of the game. And we needed every bit of that to be able to win. And we're going to need that moving forward too. So got to keep putting him in the right spots and giving him opportunities. And we keep protecting well and giving Cam a good pocket, we'll be able to find him down the field.
When you talk about Cam's kind of comeback in that fourth quarter, how he played there, can you look back at maybe just some of the other quarterbacks you've been around? Any of those guys kind of come to mind, their ability to shake off a rough three quarters or a rough start like that in the same way Cam was?
Yeah, that's a requisite for NFL quarterbacks if you want to win games. You know, it's always going to come down to the end. Every one of these games is usually in some version of a one-score game. They're competitive. And how you play at the end is really what's going to define you as a quarterback. I think that's what defines the quarterbacks that are all in the Hall of Fame, is their ability to rally their team when they're down and win the game late. I mean, when I was in Detroit with Stafford in 16, I think we had like 8 fourth quarter comebacks that he engineered and won. You know, Burrow's had quite a few big moments coming back and winning late in games. And I think that's what you have to do if you want to play quarterback at a high level, is find ways to win. And even if it's not pretty when it starts, how do you finish the game? And again, I think the best way to put it is you know, you want your guys to be at their best when their best is required. And I think we got that from a lot of guys at the end of the game.
Is that kind of a good step to see in his growth to come back from that?
Yeah, it's a huge step. It's anytime a quarterback can play like that at the end of the game, it's a huge benefit to hopefully stacking that feeling and knowing what it's like to be in that spot and then performing. So it was definitely great to see.
Simmons mentioned Primo from Thunderbirds. I know he came to speak to you guys. What was the relevance of that? How did that whole process go?
Yeah, I probably can't speak on that too much. What am I allowed to, or should I? Okay. There'll be more coming on that today. I think a little bit, just the background, and I know it probably looks weird that who is this guy and why are they talking about him. And it's from the Netflix documentary, The Thunderbirds. He's a fighter pilot, kind of a guy that we connected with. I used that documentary as a medium over the course of training camp to, you know, get some messaging reinforcement from just a different place. And it's awesome. If you haven't seen it, I'd watch it. But our guys sort of connected with Primo and some of the things that he went through, and they became they're like big fans of Primo, and it worked out. We tracked him down and found out that he was training out in Arizona. He's flying for the reserves, and he's learning how to fly the F-35 right now. And one of the other guys in that documentary is out here. He's an instructor, and so they were both in Phoenix. And so I had him come talk to the team on Saturday night, and then as you'll see, he was in the locker room after the game. Cool moment, but really awesome human. Gave a great message to the team, and a lot of the things that in that documentary I think are very pertinent to team building. And I think they all connected with it, and you know, like I said, probably gave us a little bit of spark and some energy, and I thought it was great.
You seem really connected with your players coming off the field, offensively and defensively. You also seemed active with the officials. Was your second game where you weren't locked onto the headset so much, did you feel like you were able to command the whole situation a little bit better and engage more?
I did, yeah. I really did. I found, you know, I can have a lot more energy. I can sort of have a lot more fun from a connection standpoint on the sideline, because I'm not thinking about the next things. I'm still thinking about some of it, but it's not as focused. I actually really had a lot of fun doing that, and I think the players felt it. You have to ask them more specifically, but I just feel like it was an opportunity for me to show my support for our guys and have great energy on the sideline in the midst of a challenging start and finding a way to finish. So, I think I'm kind of learning my way through that process and what that looks like for me, without the play calling. And I think it was positive.
Pearson was really productive early and managed to kind of take him out of the game. How'd you like how that played out, and maybe how'd you do that?
A couple things. I think defensively they made some nice adjustments pretty quickly in the first quarter. Started moving Legarius over there a little bit, not all the time, but a little bit more into the boundary. But I think what made it more pronounced was that I thought we rushed really well, and I thought we didn't give him a ton of time to make plays off script. And that's really, that touchdown was an off schedule play. But I think those guys did a really good job of rushing and containing the quarterback and making it hard for him to hold on to the ball long enough. And that's how you win in this league, if you can disrupt the timing of the offense and not let him get the ball down the field. I mean, it's the things we've dealt with for the first couple of weeks, and our defense did a good job of settling down and figuring out some answers.
As much tackle eligible as you did, has to say something about your tight ends, does it not?
No. I mean, we're the thing about our tight ends is we're a little bit smaller in stature. You know, those guys are those guys block willingly and they're tough at the point of attack. But anytime you can add a tackle in there and increase that size and strength at the point of attack, you do it. There's a bunch of teams that do that at the moment, and it's hard to find the old 260-pound, 265-pound wide tight end that goes in there and blocks like a tackle. So you might as well just put the tackle in there and let him handle the point of attack. And our guys do a good job when we need them to, but it's just, again, trying to just use our personnel the best we can and put our guys in great position, and it's been effective for us, certainly.
Track with the special teams penalties.
We had the block in the back by Marcus was close. I mean, it was close enough that they're going to call it, but I thought that was a tight call. I think we got called for an illegal formation. We were a little too deep on one of the punts at the wing. So that's just an alignment thing. You just got to move up. Usually they warn you for that. I'm trying to think of the other one. I think we might have had a false start maybe on the kickoff. I think we left a tick early. So nothing dramatic. I don't think it's anything crazy. We just come little things we just got to tighten up.
Not even close to the play. Like, why even be?
He was, I mean, he was the corner on the return. It was one of those things where you try to get a flyby, and you can see him pull his hands off. I mean, he's not trying to block him in the back, but it was close enough to where they felt like it was a call, and we'd like to be a little cleaner technique-wise there for him and not put himself in that spot, and really you really want to fly by and keep your hands off so they don't flag you for that. So it's a technique thing for him more than anything else.
Spears and I guess Winston playing for the first time.
Yeah. It's good for Taj. I think had 17 snaps, had a couple carries. He was in there some pass pro. Good start for him. Really good start. You know, again, getting back to playing, just like all these guys that come off these injuries, it's hard to throw him in there for a full tilt. But he played a good role, and then that role will keep increasing, I think, as we move forward. And Kevin did some really good stuff on special teams. You see him, he's getting his legs back underneath him. It was good to get him out in some game action. It's been a while, I think 13 months since he's played in the game. So we'll be smart about that, and he'll start getting bits and pieces of defense as we keep moving forward, and he'll keep doing some special teams. So we'll keep increasing his role as he gets in better shape and hopefully see more of him. But he was really impressive in practice this week. You saw all the things that make you excited about his potential, and I think his role will continue to grow.
What do you make of this trend of the guys dropping the football before they get to the goal line? Do you bring that up with your team?
Yeah, God, every time it happens, you bring it up. We have a saying, we say letters and logos, you know, and you never under any circumstance do you let go of the ball until you're through the letters and the logos of the end zone. And that's something that I know every team in the league preaches. Every time it happens, we show it. On Fridays, we show it. We show it when it happens in college. We show it when it happens in the league. We showed it to Donnie Mitchell last week. And just don't relax and just run through letters and logos, and you're never going to have a problem. And, you know, some of the times just keep the ball in your hands so you can keep it for later. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's wild to me that continues to happen. And I know it's getting coached everywhere in the league, and it pops up 3-4 times a year, which is crazy to me.
Your guy's 29 tackles the last 2 weeks. I'm guessing that's more than just a number.
Super productive. He's really starting to play well. He plays the game you need to play at linebacker. He plays downhill. He plays physical. And he finds the ball. I mean, there's no substitute for a guy that can get the ball carrier on the ground and tackle it. I think what's even more impressive, too, is I think he played 56 snaps of defense, and then he added 17 more special team snaps because we had some injuries in the second half, and he had to take – I mean, he took more snaps than anybody on our team yesterday, and then played well on special teams on top of it. So – he's really come along. He's growing. He's becoming the type of player we envisioned him being. He's still got things to keep cleaning up, but his production on the ball is undeniable, and his physicality and how he plays is what we're looking for.
Chim's near the top of the lead in all-purpose yards. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're going to say that's great, but how can that be something that you guys can take more advantage of to offensively after he does what he does?
We've tried to find some things. We've tried to manufacture some things for him, some easy touches. Some screens, some reverses, some things like that. That stuff will continue. You know, he got targeted down the field a few times, didn't connect on it, but got targeted a few times down the field. He's got real speed, and he's got real ability to track the ball, and we're going to keep finding roles for him to play. He's certainly earning it. He's turned out to be everything I hoped he would be, is a really good young receiver and a really good return man. And he's got some ability to be explosive, and we got to keep finding ways to mix him into the process on offense as well. So just like all these young players, their roles will continue to increase.
It's been 10 months since you guys have had a victory Monday. How much does it relax or lighten the mood around here? And what does it say, the fact that players are here today, maybe to your point that you're not satisfied with one?
Yeah, we got work to do, you know. I think it feels great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's super positive, and it's a whole lot easier to go talk to the team. It's a whole lot easier to come talk to you guys. It's everything's, you know, the coffee tastes a little better. The sky's a little bluer, but at the end of the day, it's just like anything else. It's just one game. It's one win. We don't want to overreact to it. We want to take the good and move on and keep those things. And then we got to correct the things we got to correct because there's plenty of that. And so we keep trying to do things the right way and stack doing things the right way and hope that it continues to pay off. And yeah, we're here working because it's not that time yet. You know, those you earn days off by winning a couple of them and doing that, playing well enough to win 3-4 in a row. And you can start talking about having days off, but we got to keep rolling and our guys are on the same page and we know we got to have another great week of practice and we're looking to go back out west and try to get another win.
What involvement do you have with Bo and Nick on that last drive offensively?
Yeah. You know, I think that the cool thing for me is Bo and Nick work really, really well together. Nick's role is incredibly important. What he does during the week, the amount of work he takes on, is part of why we're able to continue to press forward the way we are. Bo did a great job handling the game plan, calling it, which was really good to see. But a lot of communication from a lot of people. I'm involved in all of it. My headset's on during the entire process and certainly in the last drive because there's so many situational things that come up that we got to be on top of and managing the timeouts at the end and what we're going to do in that last sequence and all that stuff. So that's all communication between me and Bo and what we want to get done and to the quarterback. So, yeah, heavily involved in all of it. But I think Bo did a really nice job calling the game. Really, really happy with that. And I think Nick's role is increasingly important for how we are right now and the things that he does and the level that he does it at is huge for us. So it was a good process.
You guys lose your best tackle and then face a handful of pretty tough fronts to begin the year and people are wondering what exactly Bill does around here, what's going on with the offensive line that's supposed to be renovated and be a strength of this team, and it feels like quietly the past couple of weeks they've started to trend in the right direction. What are you seeing from that group?
Just that, you know, I think you're seeing a group that's playing together. You know, it's got a couple games under their belt now with really four of the five starters in there for most of it. I think Pete is playing really good football for us. I think Kevin Zeitler is playing really good football for us. Dan has played better over the last couple of weeks. He's really started to, that group is starting to take on a little bit of an identity. They're playing better. They're playing better technically. They're playing better as a unit. Lloyd's been really solid. He gets better every week that he comes off the injury. And then really Ole always played well for us. Even yesterday was a good game for him in a reserve role. And can't wait to get JC back. Hopefully that happens soon here. But I think it's just the totality of playing together. And you're starting to see moving the line of scrimmage a little more. We're doing some good things in the run game. It's been productive. They've been good in pass pro. They've been better the last 2 weeks than they were the first couple. And we got to keep that going.
Why not go for two? And is that going to be your philosophy in that situation?
Generally? Yeah. I mean, it's a fair – those are all questions that are fair. And our philosophy is in those spots when you're down 15, going to get to close the gap to down 9. You know, our we talk about all these things. They were talked about well in advance of the game. It's not a surprise for us that our philosophy is going to be to kick that and make it a one-possession ball game. There's a lot of things you can dive into details on, but that's ultimately where we settled for us. We've spent a lot of time talking about it and going through the scenarios, and that's where we landed on it and felt like that was the right thing for us.
All right. Thanks, guys. Okay. There you go. That is Brian Callahan, Titans head coach, with his weekly press conference. DVD will have the full reaction to that coming up next. That'll do it for us here on Chasing Big Joe today on this Monday, 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, as we leave the show every time, to our guys out there, we talk to you all the time. We love you. If you're going through something, please on your cell phone, reach out and dial or text 988. Somebody's always there. We always tell you to please talk to somebody, and we'll tell you every single day that our world is a better place because you are here. In order for us to celebrate our success, we got to celebrate your success. We love you more than anything else in the world. Know this, that God loves you too.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD from Circa, Kentucky is next on 102.5 The Game.